The former head of Nissan, Carlos Ghosn, is now a fugitive on the run. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Leisha Santarelli. Good morning. We begin in Japan, where one of the world's most famous businessmen, Carlos Ghosn, has fled the country despite being under strict bail conditions. He is meant to be awaiting trial on charges of financial misconduct, but Mr. Ghosn denies any wrongdoing and is now in Lebanon, where he has citizenship. The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes has the latest from Tokyo.
Carlos Ghosn is now an international fugitive, having skipped bail in Tokyo and made a dash by private jet to Lebanon, where he can no longer be touched by Japanese prosecutors. In a statement, Mr. Ghosn justified his decision to jump bail. "I'm now in Lebanon," he said, "no longer held hostage by a rigged Japanese justice system where guilt is presumed, discrimination rampant, and human rights denied." Mr. Ghosn said he had not fled justice, but escaped injustice. In Tokyo, there are now many questions to be answered. First, how did such a well-known figure, who had surrendered his passport, manage to leave the country? He must have had help. But the bigger question for Japan is, why has such a high-profile person taken such a dramatic step? Prosecutors will say it is because Mr. Ghosn is guilty, and he knew it. But critics of Japan's legal system say it shows that even a very wealthy man with a high-powered legal team had reason to fear he would not get a fair trial in Japan.
Until his arrest in November 2018, Mr. Ghosn had run the alliance between Nissan, France's Renault, and later Mitsubishi for over two decades. Mr. Ghosn's biographer, Philip Riaz, told the BBC the case is considered an embarrassment for Japan as well as the auto alliance.
For the image of Japan in the business world, the case from the very beginning has been terrible publicity. It was a palace coup to get rid of Carlos Ghosn. The people who engineered that operation assumed they could manage the company in the alliance. Obviously, they could not. And also assumed that the Japanese judicial system would probably succeed in breaking Carlos Ghosn.
That was Mr. Ghosn's biographer, Philip Riaz. Let's do the numbers. Shares of Nissan fell 0.5% in Tokyo on the final trading day of 2019. Overall, though, Japan's benchmark Nikkei index finished the year more than 18% higher at 23,656 points. Commodities are set for their best annual performance since 2016, but the real stunner is Bitcoin. The digital currency has gained 9,000,000% in value this decade. The label that manages artists such as Lady Gaga, The Beatles and Taylor Swift will soon be partly Chinese-owned. As much as 20% of Universal Music Group is being sold to the Chinese internet giant Tencent for more than $3 billion. The BBC's Faria Massoud has more.
After months of talks, French conglomerate Vivendi is finally able to cash in on the soaring value of its music business. Its deal with China's Tencent values Universal Music at about $34 billion, and it will bring the world's top music company closer to the fast-growing Asian market, which has traditionally been underserved by major Western labels. 2 years ago, Tencent won exclusive rights to sublicense Universal Music to other streaming providers in China. But now that it has a direct stake, Tencent has more firepower to compete with up-and-coming rivals like China's ByteDance, which owns popular social media sites like TikTok. I'm the BBC's Faria Massoud for Marketplace.
Digital streaming has revolutionized the music industry over the past decade, but even as our listening habits change, fans still love going to stadiums to experience their favorite artists in the flesh. Live gigs are a huge money spinner for musicians, and that's why they're increasingly adding emerging markets like India to their world tours. The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee reports.
The sound of U2 in Mumbai. More than 40,000 people attended their concert. It was the last leg of the band's The Joshua Tree Tour and also their first ever visit to India. To celebrate this, legendary composer A.R. Rahman joined the band with his daughters on stage. Arthur Fogel is from concert search engine Live Nation.
More and more artists are asking about coming here to perform, and so there's no question there are going to be more shows coming.
Ashish Hemrajani is from Book My Show.
India cannot be ignored anymore. It is one of the last bastions. You've done North America, you've done Europe. If you want to build your next base of hundreds of millions of consumers, this is where the market is.
India loves Bollywood. So the question is, will this film-crazy nation spend the extra dollars on live events? Karishma Bhalla is from Boston Consulting Group.
Look at the past decade. The average household income has grown by 1.5 times. And if I look at the decade that comes, the average household income will grow by another 1.5 times. And these people are willing to consume not just products, they're also willing to consume experiences.
But organizing these events comes with their own set of challenges. Back to Ashish Hemrajani from Book My Show.
I think it's really the taxation and infrastructure. We tend to overspend on infrastructure, on building infrastructure for each event. The taxation in this country for live events is extremely high. It is at 28%. If we address these two issues, then this is a real viable business. This will become a rock solid, high growth, high frequency, high margin contribution business in the years to come.
On that note, I'd like to wish all of our listeners a very happy new year wherever you are in the world. We'll be back at the same time, same station tomorrow, January 1st, 2020. In London, I'm Lisha Santarelli with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.